broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard are with me here on our news and information hour. How are you doing, Bud?
I'm doing pretty good. You're going to talk about Whitey Bulger.
Yeah, well, see, he got the name right. He thought it was Bulge Out and all that.
Yeah, well, I know you probably wanted to turn it into a big, funny, dirty joke, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like Whitey Bulge It.
It ain't Whitey Bulge It, as you know. And why would we want to talk about Whitey Bulger? Why would we be concerned with some old East Coast gangster from the Boston area? He's not even La Cosa Nostra. He's not any of that mafia romantic stuff. Whitey Bulger is a gangster that went on the lam in 1995. He is an individual who was wanted by the FBI, even as he had been informing for them. Now, why are we really interested in this case? It's very simply because of a movie called The Departed. Now, if you've been reading this story, you probably already know, aha, so that's the character that Jack Nicholson played. Well, the character Jack Nicholson played in The Departed was based on Whitey Bulger. The character that Jack Nicholson played in The Departed was a character, I think, named...
Abbott and Costello, but...
Abbott and Costello?
Well...
Frank Costello, I think. Frank Costello, okay?
And you said that's Italian.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, he was an Irish guy, okay? I don't know why Costello is an Irish name, but it is. For some reason, Costello makes it as an Irish name. Why is that? I got no idea. Sounds Italian to me. But nonetheless, Elvis Costello. You think he's Italian or Irish?
I think he looks Italian.
Elvis Costello, huh? Okay. Anyway, so in the film, you know that Frank Costello has a mole inside the State Police of Massachusetts. He has a spy. And you also know in watching the film that the Massachusetts State Police have placed a spy inside of the crime family of Mr. Costello. So there's a dueling spy versus spy, if you will, only on the level of this crime family in Boston. Well, what's the real story? The real story is, in point of fact, that this man, Whitey Bulger, was an FBI informant, just as the character was in The Departed. He did have a crooked cop that was feeding him information, and that was an FBI agent, not a Massachusetts state police officer, as was the case in the film. Now, Whitey Bulger went on the lam in the mid-1990s, and he was nabbed in San Diego. He appeared relaxed at a Los Angeles hearing on Thursday, where he learned he'll be taken to Boston to face a string of charges, including multiple murders dating back to the early 1970s. How did they get information on these multiple murders? When he took off and went underground, and members of his criminal organization found out that he had been an FBI informant, they began to talk to the FBI themselves about things that Whitey Bulger did.
Oh, so they're trying to burn him down.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was informing on them, and not only that, but he had to do perhaps with the killing of a lot of his Confederates and perhaps rivals. And so they decided, well, this is not anybody that we want to protect anymore. So much of the information they got in these indictments on murder, they got from intimates of Whitey Bulger. He did not seek bond, according to a spokesman for federal prosecutors. Why do you suppose that is?
What?
Why didn't he want to get bail?
Oh, because if he get out.
Yeah, they'd kill him.
Exactly. Maybe there's guys out there that want to kill him. So he and his girlfriend are being held without bail. It was not clear when the longtime fugitive who sported glasses and a white beard would be transported. U.S. Magistrate Judge John E. McDermott asked Bulger if he was aware of the two existing indictments against him. I know them. I know them all. Thank you, he politely told the magistrate. Bulger, a Boston mobster on the lam for 16 years, appeared to be a guy who was healthy, vibrant, and knew what was going on, said Assistant U.S. Attorney Robert Dugdale. Bulger, or Bulger, or whatever, 81. How do you pronounce the name anyway, Robert?
I think it's Bulge.
Yeah, Bulge.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know, you clowns, just...
No, Bulger.
All right. Bulge. Bulge, I mean, Bulger, 81, faces multiple charges related to alleged criminal enterprises that span two decades. He was the subject of a $2 million FBI reward. He's been living in a Santa Monica apartment and was arrested outside of it. What did I say, San Diego? Santa Monica. Arrested outside of the Santa Monica apartment by the FBI. He is charged with 19 counts of murder and a slew of other crimes. Acting on a tip, members of the Fugitive Task Force staked out the residence Wednesday and arrested Bulger and his girlfriend, Catherine Elizabeth Grigg, who was inside the home. She is suspected, the girlfriend, of harboring him. So I guess that's she'll get charged. Neither put up a fight. After the arrest, members of the Fugitive Task Force, which include the FBI and police, searched the apartment. So there's a lot of other stuff. The tip came in at about 8 o'clock on Tuesday. Less than 24 hours later, Bulger, one of the FBI's top 10 most wanted fugitives, and the inspiration for the 2006 Martin Scorsese film The Departed, was in custody. At approximately 5:45 Pacific time, using a ruse.
What was that?
Some way they were trying to kid people or trick people. Agents and other task force members lured Mr. Bulger out of his apartment. The agents determined Bulger's identity and arrested him without incident, then went into the house and they arrested his girlfriend. In addition to the murder counts, he's charged with conspiracy to commit murder, extortion, narcotics distribution, and money laundering. He was an FBI informant before he fled in 1995. Some of these allegations go back 40 years, and it was unclear on Thursday how many potential trial witnesses survive. Carmen Ortiz, a U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts, said she believes the death penalty is not an option in the federal charges Bulger faces in her district, but that she believes he could face the death penalty for two cases outside of her district. The death penalty.
So this guy's a big gangster, but he's not Italian.
Was not Italian, no.
Why not?
Well, not every gangster's Italian. Okay, that's what's, you know.
But I thought, I know about like Jamaica Posse, but they're black.
Okay, so you think that only gangsters are Italian and black?
They got a Jew one.
What's with the Jew thing, okay, bud?
I mean, Jewish one.
They got a Jewish one, really? Which one is that?
What's the guy?
Hyman Roth.
Hyman Roth. That's in the movies, okay?
Meyer Lansky.
Meyer Lansky, but that's not the only Jewish guy. There's been all kinds of criminals representing all ethnicities in this country since the very beginning. Okay? And they generally represented people who had a really tough time acclimating or you know, putting their roots down in this country.
How come there ain't no German ones?
Well, the German gangsters, they moved back to Germany and formed the Nazi Party. Now, anyway...
No, come on.
All right. The Germans? Okay, the Germans... I'll tell you why the Germans didn't have gangsters. I'll tell you why there were no German gangs. There were no German gangs per se, the same reason why there were no English gangs, because the English and the Germans were right there at the very beginning, the very founding of this country. They were the landed gentry. They were the founding nationalities, if you will, the founding cultures of America, Germany and England, for the most part. There were people from all over the world that were here. But it was the Germans and the English who held sway, if you will. And in point of fact, as you may or may not know, there was a debate as to what would be the national language. What would be our... we actually have a national language. It is English. It was at one time debated, and some people supported German. So that's why you don't have any German gangs. You see any Dutch gangs? You know?
What do you mean Dutch gang?
Dutch, you know.
Yeah, like in Solvang.
I saw some punks in Solvang, yeah.
You saw some punks in Solvang. So what?
Ain't that Dutch?
Well, first of all, Solvang is not Dutch. Solvang is a tourist town. It's a little town here in California that the city... Why am I talking about Solvang, man, okay?
You said there's no Dutch gang.
Well, two punks in Solvang doesn't make a Dutch gang. What were they doing?
They were trying to get a hubcap.
Two Dutch punks in Solvang trying to pull a hubcap off a car don't make a Dutch gang. The Dutch.
What about, like, Canadians and stuff?
Oh, get real, will you? The only Canadian gangs we got are bikers. Okay, now,
it's true.
Actually, that is true. The only crime they got in Canada, man, are certain, I shouldn't say clubs, certain members of outlaw motorcycle clubs. All right. So where were we? Okay. So that's it, man. So you're asking me about Irish. Yeah, they've had Irish gangs. They've had Irish gangs from the very beginning, and the Irish held sway in Boston more than the Italians did. And if you see this movie, The Departed, they talk about Providence. Providence is about as far north as the Italian, La Cosa Nostra, as the Italians went. And anything further north than Providence is Irish. Even though, yes, there's a Massachusetts mafia, I believe.
What do they do? They gotta sit down and have a sit down and break bread and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A sit down and break bread? What does that mean?
They gotta sit down and break bread with an Irish man.
I don't know if they do. No, they gotta sit down and break bread with an Irish man. I think they just have an agreement about. I don't know how they do it, okay? So don't ask me. So Whitey Bulger has been grabbed, and if you'll pardon the expression, grabbed, and that's the end of that. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our number, 877-876-PHIL, in case we ever take any phone calls in our news and information hour, which I doubt very seriously that we will. Margaret Gray is going to join us because there is a movement of parents allowing, well, this isn't about the Margaret Gray appearance, but there is a movement of parents allowing kids to have sex in the home. They claim it's safer. Margaret's going to be on to talk about Wimbledon and to talk about some of the female tennis players and their behavior on the court. We'll find out what she's talking about when we return here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Andro Kills Ants is a bait ants love, so they eat it and die. And that's a tune that'll keep your house humming. Find Amdro Kills Ants' entire line of products at a Lowe's near you.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. All right, turn that down. Gavin 6 Phil here on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray is joining us from Wimbledon right now. Where has anything happened, Margaret? Or are you in England? Where are you?
No, Phil. I am not in England. I'm in New York right now, and I will not be leaving for another couple of days. What I am on the program to talk about, though, is something that could very well affect what's happening at Wimbledon and the tennis world in general. And if Bud has those cuts that I MP3'd him.
Yeah, which ones?
Well, there are three pieces of audio, Bud, that I sent from some of the earlier tennis matches.
All right. What is this audio of?
Well, this is, I think, Phil, better heard than explained, to be honest with you. The audio that I'm going to play for you here is about the behavior of women on the tennis court. Let's listen, first of all, Bud, if you have cut one. This is Sharapova, and this is really what we've heard an awful lot about in recent days. The sounds that these women make when they're hitting a tennis ball. Listen to that.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely disgusting, and that is.
Now, what? Who was that?
That is Sharapova. She's one of the players that is featured prominently at Wimbledon. Now, do you have any news on Wimbledon?
No, we don't do that here. I mean, I don't have any news on Wimbledon. Be that as it may, she's one of the prominent players.
Yes, she is one of the prominent players at Wimbledon. Either it's begun, or it hasn't begun. It will begin. And I'm either in London or I'm not.
Okay.
But nonetheless, that is what people have to either look forward to or it's already happened.
Okay. The point being that, Wimbledon's begun. That's nice. Do we have a story to go along with Wimbledon has begun or do we just get Wimbledon has begun?
Listen to that. listen to that. Oh, God.
Well, it doesn't seem to bother the fans.
Well, I am here to tell you, Phil, yes, it does bother the fans. It has bothered enough of the fans that they have brought it to my attention, and they have brought it to the attention of some of the other individuals in charge of Wimbledon and the players and all of this.
Where is the story that we had on Wimbledon, please? Where is it? Where's the story loud grunting from female tennis players? This is the story that we're talking about. Is that it?
I don't know. Whatever he sent you.
All right. The loud grunting from female tennis players has long been fodder for morning radio shows and bad R-rated jokes, but widely accepted as part of the game. Now one top tennis official is working to change that. In an interview with The Telegraph that sparked discussion across the tennis world and even with casual fans, Ian Ritchie, the head of Wimbledon, said he would prefer it if female tennis players tone it down.
And I agree with that 100%. I think what we're hearing is, I think, Phil, personally, I think it's a kind of an exhibitionism. I don't know why. I don't know why. For instance, Sharapova, here she is in a recent match. This may be Wimbledon here. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's so... Now the crowd is laughing at it, you see. So what we have here, Phil, is a woman that is an exhibitionist. She wants everyone to hear what she sounds like when she is in the throes of passion.
Oh, come on. You're not serious about that, are you?
Well, I don't know why the woman would be out there and exhibiting this kind of behavior. Here is another. Monica Seles. I don't know. I can't even. I listen to that, and I get sick to my stomach.
Well, what does he propose they do, this guy Ritchie?
Well, I think what he's proposing that they do is that they keep their mind on tennis, and they keep their minds off of impressing the crowd with what they sound like when they grunt like animals.
Margaret, I don't believe this, and I don't think anybody finds it credible that those women are out there grunting away because they want the whole world to know what they sound like when they're in the throes of passion. They're in the middle of a tennis match that means an awful lot of money.
It is also a part of the stage, the grand stage of tennis upon which they stand. And that grand stage is not just about tennis. It's about their womanhood. It's about their passion. It's about their energy. And when you have a grown woman standing out there and going, listen to that. Well, I'd like to go, you know, I swear to God, I'd slap her face. I'd slap her. What a pig.
It sounds like she's faking it now. You can hear the crowd laughing.
Yes, because the crowd finds an... You see, in other words, Phil, what I'm saying is she's doing it on purpose. She's acting like a pig for the crowd, and I think something has to be done. I don't know what it is. I proposed to Ian Ritchie when I had lunch with him last week. I said, what would be wrong? And I know you're going to think this is absurd. But what would be wrong with someone with a pellet gun? Now, hear me out.
A pellet gun.
Hear me out. When they start going into their... when they start sounding like beasts in heat, you hit them with a pellet. And that will sting. And believe me when I tell you, it will sting. and that will remind them of their duty to their country and their duty as women. Right? You hear that?
No, I didn't. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Well, one more reason why we can only hope that the next wave of revolutions that hit in the Middle East, if the waves continue, right now, as we predicted, we told you that Syria is nothing more than a Nazi state, and you can see it. The Syrians are not going to go down without a fight because they're nothing but a bunch of fascists. And you can see they're butchering their people left and right. They don't care who sees it. They'll put it out on color TV, man, in the middle of the day, high definition. They'll butcher their people up and keep them in line if it goes around the world in living color. They could care less. And the Saudis are probably the same. Now, the Saudi Arabians, as you well know, have a particular stink coming off of them that everybody seems to get upset with. If you're on the far left, you don't like them because you think they're in bed with George Bush. If you're on the far right, you don't like them because they have cornered the world's oil market and have exacted a kind of tribute from the world because of their oil that is beyond the pale. Here's an example of what we're talking about. Delta Air, and I'm not just blaming the Saudis now. I mean, I know Saudi Arabia is a toilet, but Delta Airlines, now that's an airline I'm very proud to say I haven't flown in many years. I used to fly Delta all the time when I lived in the South, and I was coming home to visit out West. I am very proud to say that I haven't flown Delta Airlines in years. Now, I don't know whether Delta Airlines is a sponsor of this show, and I don't care. And I don't care if anybody cares. And I don't care if anybody cares that anybody cares. Because you see, Delta Airlines, in a inter-flight partnership with Saudi Arabian Airlines now, they won't let any Jews on their airplanes that fly to Saudi Arabia. Why? Well, because their partners, the Saudis, they don't want no Jews, see. They won't let anybody with Israeli citizenship on any of their aircraft going to Saudi Arabia. Now, Israeli citizenship, I suppose one could argue there are countries that have travel bans with regard to a place of origin, the United States and Cuba as an example. And perhaps one could make that argument about Israel and Saudi Arabia. But to say that Jews, no matter where or how or what, are not welcome in Saudi Arabia, well, I think you get a general idea as to what the Saudis are. Now, this is something that isn't new in our history. In the last 100 years, we saw the very same thing happening in Europe. And the very same reactions that we're seeing now, people saw then. What were those reactions? Well, we're Delta Airlines. We can't dictate the policies of a nation. Of course you can't. As long as their money spends, we're Delta Airlines. We can't tell people that they can't fly or they may fly if they don't have the proper travel document. The proper travel document? You mean the travel document that isn't stamped Juden? Oh, yeah, I know all about the proper travel document, Delta. I mean, there was a time you couldn't travel if you had a big blue J in the middle of your passport, man. You Jew, you get in that line, right? Well, those are travel documents as well. And those are the proper travel documents. So Delta Airlines, in this agreement with the Saudi Arabian Airlines, they announced in January that the Saudi airline would join its SkyTeam network. And the implications of the deal have only now come to light. Saudi Arabia is governed by strict Islamic law, which is their loss. It requires citizens of almost every country to obtain a visa. People who wish to enter the country must have a sponsor. Women who must be dressed according to Saudi standards of modesty must be met by the Saudi at the Saudi airport by a man who will act as a chaperone. In other words, you're traveling back in time to a 14th century country. That's what you're doing. You're traveling back in time when you go to Saudi Arabia. I don't give a damn if they got brand new buildings and every one of those clowns wearing a diaper on his head is driving a Mercedes-Benz. That doesn't make any difference. You're traveling back in time. Saudi Arabia bans anyone with an Israeli stamp in their passport from entering the country, even in transit. Many Jews believe the kingdom has also withheld visas from travelers with Jewish-sounding names. Religious items such as Bibles are not related to Islam may be confiscated. Colby M. May, who's a senior counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, a conservative legal group founded by religious broadcaster Pat Robertson, said his office is trying to determine if the agreement runs afoul of U.S. law. The very idea that there is a common carrier airline service that would deny an American citizen in America access to their services because they are Jewish or have religious items such as a yarmulke, a cross, or a priestly collar is very disturbing. What time is it? I can't even see the time. Oh, here it is. May said he's trying to get answers from Delta, but Delta, like Google, was it Google? Who was it, man? Yahoo? Who were the guys that were tipping off the Chinese secret police so they could drag somebody out of their... Huh? Yahoo. Yahoo was tipping off the Chinese secret police so that in the middle of the night they could drag people from their beds and throw them into the bottom of a pit because Yahoo wanted to do business in China, and in order to have access to that big 1 billion person market, that's a lot of money. There's no question about it. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And are you really going to say no to a billion-person market? What's one guy dragged out of his bed in the middle of the night in front of his wife and children and thrown into a police van never to be seen again? What's one guy when there's all that money to be made, huh? These aren't American companies. It really hits home the idea of multinational company when you hear these stories. You realize you ain't in Kansas anymore, man, and you're not dealing with American companies anymore. You're dealing with just internationalists. You're dealing with just slobs. Slobs that are, they got a big hose shoved in their mouth, and they're sucking in all the manna, all the money, all of the good stuff that they possibly can, and they're crapping anywhere they want. And if somebody gets lost in the cogs and the machinery, that's tough. May said he's trying to get answers from Delta. They've not responded in a way that answers the question, he said. Now, in a statement to Religion News Service on Thursday, whatever that is, but apparently that's Pat Robertson's organization, and I endorse Mr. Robertson's organization doing something like this, which I think is valuable for a change. In a statement to Religion News Service, Delta said, "It does not discriminate, nor do we condone discrimination against any protected class of passenger in regards to ace, race, nationality, religion, or gender." The airline, which did not deny the new policy, insisted that it has no control over who may fly to Saudi Arabia and that they're only following the laws of that country. But you don't discriminate against anybody regarding race and gender. So that means in your hiring, in who you have employed in your company. But what about passengers? They did not deny the new policy. They have no control. Well, you have control over one thing. You don't have to fly to that country. Well, are you telling us, Mr. Hendry, to ignore that marketplace? I guess I am. Well, the day you can turn your nose up at a sweet deal like that, you let us know, Mr. Hendry. I tell you, I'm not Delta Airlines. I'm fairly confident, though. I'm pretty damn confident that I would say no to that were I Phil Hendry, the guy who had a choice between making a lot of cheese from the Saudis or telling some Jew, get off my plane because you're not allowed in Saudi Arabia, and so I can't even have you on the aircraft because they're not going to let you in, so there's no point in selling you a ticket. Now, I understand, like I said, if there are prohibitions of flying into certain countries, Americans are not allowed to fly into Cuba, American Airlines are not allowed to fly there, and there's certain countries, I get that, you know, but I've never heard of an aircraft that takes select people off of their aircraft. You're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed, but we're still doing business in that country. That's not an American company. The airline, which did not deny the new policy, Delta must also comply with all applicable laws in every country it serves, adding that passengers are responsible for obtaining the necessary travel documents required for entry. If a passenger travels without proper documents, the passenger may be denied entry into that country and our airline may be fined. Well, your airline doesn't have to go to that country. And no Jew, apparently, there isn't a document he can obtain. There isn't a document on this earth that a Jew can get that's going to let him into Saudi Arabia. There ain't a document that an Israeli is going to be able to get that'll let him into Saudi Arabia. Now, I may have all the right documents, but I got a Bible. What's that tell you, Delta? Suppose I went out and got all the right visas, and I had everything, and I had a big, fat diaper on my head, and I was wearing a bathrobe, or whatever it is they wear down there, and I looked fantastic, but I had a Bible. Now what? Detroit rabbi and blogger Jason Miller points out the issue here is one of principle. Delta isn't being forced to include Saudi Arabian Airlines into its Sky Team alliance. In fact, Delta could stand on principle and refuse to include Saudi Arabian Airlines based on its discriminatory policy. But we don't know Delta to do things like that. Delta has been so close to falling on its ass over the last years, they're probably happy for any business. The January 10th agreement allows Saudi Arabian Airlines to become a member of its Sky Team in 2012, after fulfilling all membership requirements. According to a SkyTeam statement, the Saudi airline is SkyTeam's first member from the Middle East. The policy's deeply angered U.S. Jewish groups, especially since Delta is an American carrier. Well, it used to be. Saudi Arabia, a U.S. ally, should be strongly condemned for its despicable discrimination against Jews. And this is Kenneth Brandler, a spokesman for the New York-based American Jewish Committee. For an American company, our nation's values should trump narrow business interests. Delta should be the first to reject Saudi Airlines as a SkyTeam member. Dan Diker, Secretary General of the World Jewish Congress, said he hoped Delta will not be complicit with what appears to be a demonstrably anti-Semitic and racist policy by Saudi Arabian Airlines. So we'll, you know, keep you abreast of whether or not Delta continues with this. I dare say I don't think they will. I'm not going to fly on them. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't do that bull crap, you know, let's boycott Delta or any of that. I don't do any of that. But there is occasionally something that happens that I feel strongly enough about that I will go ahead and I will talk on the air about it. I won't fly Delta Airlines now as long as they have this policy. I don't give a sweet crap whether they're a sponsor. It doesn't make any difference to me. If they are a sponsor, I'm ashamed of this radio show. That these anti-Semites bending over and greasing up for Saudi Arabia. Woo! Man, you must really need the money down there in Atlanta, huh? Bending over and oiling up for the Saudis? How bad is business? How bad is business that you are keeping Jews off your airplane? You don't think anybody's going to notice that? Are you stupid or something? You don't think people are going to look at that and say, excuse me, man, but what are you doing? Well, you have to have the right documents. Where the hell do you think we are, man? 1932 Germany and everybody's going to get it? You know, you ain't got that much juice, Delta. You do not have that much juice. You may think you do, but you don't. I got to fly in your airline. That's just me. I'm not telling anybody else to do anything. They can do whatever the hell they want. I don't care. You want my honest opinion? I don't give a damn what my listeners do. They're free to do whatever they want. If anybody was to not fly Delta because Phil Henry isn't flying Delta, I wouldn't have any respect for him. I would have no respect for anybody who said, gee, Phil's boycotting Delta, I think I will too. I wouldn't want to know that person. There. Is that clear enough for you, Delta? I'm just simply saying Phil Hendry isn't flying your lousy, stinking airline until you change your policy. Because I'm a little, I don't know about you, but I'm getting real tired of dumb. This country has been choking on it. This country is choking on stupid, and it's got to end someplace. Now you guys propose to bring back certain discriminatory practices that have not been a part of first world society since the 1930s, and you jackasses have decided you're going to keep Jews off your aircraft when you fly to Saudi Arabia because you want some of that good Saudi Vaseline. Well, you go right ahead, man. You go ahead and grease up. You go home to your wife and kids at night, man, and tell them how much you oiled up for them, okay? What you should do, but I think it'd be very interesting, keep a running tally on how many Jews you keep off your airplanes. You really get a reputation for yourselves, Delta. If you don't turn this around, man, we can keep a running tab on how many Jews got booted off a Delta jet today. How many Jews got kept from traveling on Delta Airlines today? Here's your running total on whatever the hell website would keep track of that. That'd be, you talk about advertising. Hi, we're Delta, man. And here, we fly, but Jews can't fly. Why? Well, you know, God doesn't love them. And neither does Delta. Of course, that means that maybe American Airlines will fly down there and will take Jewish people. And they can say, American Airlines, home of the flying Jew. All right.
What are you talking about?
All right, I'm kidding. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Coming up in our final segment, sorry to get so preachy there, but it was actually kind of fun. A shocking twist in the Casey Anthony trial caught the prosecution off guard. We'll tell you what it was. I was there. I saw it. I was laying on my couch when it happened. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it is it's talking about. And like that, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here with me.
I want to say one thing about Delta Airlines.
What?
I want to say one thing about Delta.
Go ahead.
You are talking about they're keeping Jews off. You know they're not one Jew. If they get a good price on Delta, they're not going to change their plan. You know.
What are you talking about?
I mean, that Jews, they know that, you know, that they look for a bargain. If they get a bargain on Delta.
Oh, that's right, Robert. So in other words, because Jews are tight, if they get a bargain on Delta.
Why don't you spit it out, Porky?
Yeah, spit it out, man.
I'll spit you guys out. So in other words, they're tight. They get a deal on Delta. Doesn't matter if the Delta isn't flying Jews down to Saudi Arabia. They're going to go, hey, I got myself a deal.
You know it's true.
No, I don't know it's true. Freaking bigot.
But I ain't no bigot, man. I'm just telling you, I know Jews. You don't.
Oh, you know Jews. I don't. And you know that they're going to find a bargain on Delta Airlines, and they're going to fly it anyway.
I don't know. It makes sense to me.
You're both idiots. That's the problem with you guys, okay? You're not bad guys. You're just stupid. Stupid as the day is long. You don't like Jews. You don't like black people, even though you got a black girlfriend.
Yeah, that don't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense you don't like Jews.
Why don't it make sense I don't like Jews?
Because you got a partner that's one, that guy at the gas station your dad runs.
That's right. That partner of your dad's is Jewish.
That's different.
That's different. Your dad's owned that service station how long?
Your dad about 40 years.
And how long has that guy been his partner?
All 40 years.
But you don't like Jews.
I didn't say I don't like Jews. I said they're like a bargain.
You're both of you guys. Every time you open your yaps about this stuff, I want to smack both of you. Delta Airlines I guarantee you this much, okay? They're going to lose business. I don't think it's going to last. It's not going to last. They can't be that stupid. They can't be that stupid. I know they're stupid. And I know they see the flash of green, don't we all? But they can't be so stupid that they will risk the eternal enmity of the entire worldwide Jewish community because they wanted to squeeze a couple of dollars. I'm sorry, folks. I use that. I don't mean that. I don't mean that as an offense to Muslim people, and I do not mean that as offense to Arab people. I use the term raghead to apply to enemies. Enemies in that part of the world. And that means Al-Qaeda, and that means the Taliban, and that means that scumbag there in Syria, and that means those scumbag Hezbollah, and that means the scumbags in Hamas, and yes, it means that stinking Saudi family, and all of that phony ally. What ally? Ally of what? I bet you they're sweating buckets down there, man, waiting for the next shoe to drop on what's happening down in the Middle East, you know? All that stuff that's been going down, whether it's in Libya and Tunisia and in Egypt and the green thing happening in Iran and what happened in Iraq with a little bit of our help. And now, what do we got? Syria? Syria's going to hell in a handcart. And next stop, Saudi Arabia, man. You guys better hold your breath down there. Shake.
Shake your booty.
I haven't heard that one before.
That's old, man.
Now, the Casey Anthony... Oh, we're all out of time.
You fool! We're going to talk about Casey Anthony, you bloody fool!
Shut up. Don't you call me that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. Tomorrow, we'll tell you about the Casey Anthony trial. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, for live streaming video of the show. Our archives, going back thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archives, going back 15 years or so, our daily podcast, as well as our merchandise store, our news feed, our comment section, the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. See you tonight. Phil Hendry.